Lord Christ, be with us today as we hear and receive your word. Let your grace inspire our minds and set our hearts on fire. Amen. Years ago, I clipped a column from the Faith and Values section of a newspaper. The column was all about confronting fears. It was a dream or a vision that the columnist had written. She had a vivid imagination or a true understanding of confronting fear. I'll let you decide. I peeked into a crowded room, she wrote. Some folks were checking their watches as if they were expecting someone. I took a deep breath and I opened the door and I realized I'm the one they're expecting. Why had I called this meeting? I walked in the door and I recognized them all immediately. They were my worst fears. Everyone looked up expectantly as I took my place at the podium. A burly guy hunched over in a chair near the window stood up and I nervously asked, "How long have you been with me?" "I came on board when you were a little kid," he said. "I'm your fear of being abandoned." And suddenly I remembered the babysitters who had paraded through our house after my mom returned to teaching when I was 2 years old. When she walked out the door each morning, I howled, fearing she wouldn't return. "Aren't you outdated?" I asked. "That was a long time ago. My mother died years ago." "I keep up with the times," he says. "You never know when someone else will abandon you, maybe your husband." "That's absurd," I countered. "We've been happily married for 19 years. The man glowered at me. "Call me absurd if you want. You're the boss." Suddenly, a scrawny woman with glittering eyes and pointy fingernails jumped to her feet. "I'm your fear of dying," she announced. "I've been with you ever since your mom died of cancer." She gestured to two women seating behind her. "They report to me," she said proudly. "They're your fear of suffering and your fear of getting cancer." "I think I deserve a raise," she said. "I've been working long hours lately." I had to agree. Ever since my cancer diagnosis a year ago, she, meaning that fear, had visited me first thing in the morning and last thing at night. I certainly couldn't accuse her of laziness. Still, I felt ashamed to acknowledge her identity. If I truly believed that the world is a way station between birth and eternity, surely I wouldn't see death as such a terrible thing. Surely I could dismiss the bevy of fears. The tallest guy in the room raised a beefy hand, and when I nodded, he stood up. He said, "I'm one of your main fears," he proclaimed. "I underpin all of the others. Without me, the rest would be nothing." He paused and then delivered his line. "I am your fear that Christ's promises are false. I am your fear that when you die, you will confront total nothingness." I was stunned, speechless even, but I couldn't call him a liar. If I believed wholeheartedly in the Christ teachings, surely I wouldn't be confronting a room full of fears. After all, Christ said time and time and time again, "Fear not, do not let your heart be troubled." At that precise moment, I spotted someone sitting alone by the window who had very soulful eyes. And I said, "Which fear are you?" "I'm not a fear," he said quietly. "I sneaked into the meeting out of curiosity. I represent hundreds of others who aren't here right now. I stand for all the prayers being said for you by your friends, your family, your church community, and your readers. Suddenly the room was filled with ugly, snarling sounds, and horrified I saw all of my fears rising from their seats and heading straight for us, and my mouth went dry, my heart was pounding, and I gripped this guy's arm and hand, and I began to pray out loud, "Our Father, who art in heaven." And when I looked up, the fears had vanished. They were gone. After all, Christ said, time and time again, "Fear not." Obviously, that column has stayed with me a long time. Fear. Something we all have. It can drive life's decisions on a daily basis. Sometimes we're conscious of what they are, like death and pain, guilt for things done, guilt for things not done. We even know why we have them sometimes. Traumas, past experiences from events or in our lives. Some fears are unconscious, don't even know where they are or that we have them. Fear of not being good enough or being alone. Whatever they are, they're all affecting our lives. Some of us have fears too numerous to count. It's a miserable feeling to be afraid. I don't know about you, but I know for myself, when I'm afraid, I play it safe. I hide the best of me sometimes in order to accommodate the fear. In fact, fear can make me do things exactly the opposite of what I should. Sometimes against my own best interest. Sometimes against the best interest of those that I love and that are around me. I want to give of myself freely, generously, magnanimously. And fear sometimes doesn't let me do that. Or I may do something that needs to be undone. Heaven forbid. Prayerfully. Never to be done again. What we know very well is that fear causes hate. And when you don't confront hate, it grows and can cause tragedies and eras that last forever, take centuries to undo. Fear causes misunderstandings, for people to separate. In this morning's gospel, Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." To give us the kingdom. We all know this message from Jesus is not new. It's as old as God's message in the Older Testament to Abraham and Isaac. "Do not be afraid, Abraham. Travel where you need to travel, where I need you to travel, and I will take care of you. I am your shield." "Do not be afraid, Isaac, for I am with you, and I will bless you, and I will multiply you, and you will be my leader. Through you, all will be well." God said it to Mary, mother of Jesus, "Fear not, Mary. I know what you're going to go through is horrible and because you'll be thrown out maybe. But fear not, I'm with you. You're doing my purpose." The angel said it to the shepherds in Bethlehem who were following this glimmer. "Fear not. I bring tidings of great joy. Go for it." God's overarching message to us is, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Are we afraid of what we're being asked to do? Or do we just not want to listen because we don't want to face it? In the Newer Testament, Jesus' fear is considered to be the root of all evil, and that is the whole purpose for Jesus coming to earth, for God to send Jesus. He was the ultimate assurance to conquer that fear, to believe that God is with us and for us. He overcame. He had no fear of who he spoke to, who he sat with, what he did. The point of all this is to not be afraid to discover the difference we each can make in God's world. Think of the disciples in the locked room after Jesus' death, afraid, unable to even leave the room. Could not leave the room, had been with Jesus for years. Could not leave the room. Unable to go anywhere until Jesus came back and said, "Let me repeat one more time. Do not be afraid." Then they went out and they did what was impossible. Traveled to all points of the earth, never knowing where their next meal would come from. And they literally changed the world. If you take nothing else from today, I want you to take home, don't recycle here, recycle home, the lesson from Hebrews. Now, faith is the assurance of hope, of this hope for, the conviction of things not seen. There's more in there. Hebrews is very rich today. Hebrews is not always rich. Today it's very rich. And if you want to really expand what I'm talking about even more, there's a great book I could recommend. It's very relevant. It's written by a priest named Samuel Wells. It's called Be Not Afraid, Facing Fear with Death. But Facing Fear with Faith. That would be interesting. Be Not Afraid, Facing Fear with Faith. He was dean of the Deak Divinity School. He's back now as Dean of St. Martin in the Fields in England. But it's 31 chapters, sort of further developed chapters where he talks about facing death or facing pain or facing your worst fears. And then he talks about how you work through it and how to draw in scripture and how to draw in your faith, how to draw in your family. It's a slow read. It should be a slow read. But it's a life-changing read. He covers, I can't really even summarize so much as he covered, but it's a wonderful book. What I do know is our journey boils down to one essential element. It's called faith. How do we live our faith? It's the opposite of fear, faith is. Faith is based on hope. It's based on patience. It's based on courage. And we're all on this journey together. Each facing our own fears, lifting up another when we sense that they have fear. We have the history of the communion of saints who have faced their fears in the past and risen above them. They've made God's world better. We have Jesus who came to earth and who so long ago prayed on our behalf, our Father who art in heaven, your will be done, your kingdom come. And we have the words of God, the invitation to be wholly alive, to fear not, to be bold in striving. I certainly pray that you and St. Paul's will continue to have courage to face fears if they arise. For the Lord of hosts is with you. The God of Jacob is your refuge. Faith is the marvelous acceptance of being lovingly found by God. And all it calls for is having faith in the goodness, the everlasting goodness of God, and then radiating that to the world. Amen.